Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Your word tells us that the entrance to your word gives light. And this light transforms our lives. We thank you because as we get into your word, our lives become transformed. Our lives become metamorphosed into that very image that you desire us to be. Thank you. Thank you. Because your spirit is present to teach us your word. Glory be to you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Special thanks to the pastorate for this opportunity as we get better every day. Amen. Tonight, quickly, we'll be looking at treasures without measure. Treasures without measure. God's word tells us that we have this treasure in earthen vessel. And by so saying, what it's actually saying is, you may be Toby, you may be Collins, but, and then you look, you are human, but you have God's treasure on your inside. You are God's treasure. Hallelujah. How much of his treasure do you have? It's without measure. You can't measure it. So, it's only the value of the treasure that you possess, that you use, that you know. If you've seen elastic, you know elastic? You know rubber, eh? Elastic. That type that, there's this one we used. Many of us used it in class. How many of us did that thing that you use rubber band and biro cover or with paper and you give somebody in front of the class, bah, and the person will be looking for who did that. How many of us did it? Even Mrs. Dizef, she did it. As she was shaking her head. You know, some people can be so quiet in class and then you'll be wondering. And when you turn back, you say, no, it can't be Toyin because she looks quiet. Your mind, you say, it must be Lola. This one, she looks troublesome. You know? Praise the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. So we have become the treasures of God. We carry his DNA. We have him on our inside. We have so much of those values. Amen. On our inside. That already means that we've been transformed. We've been changed. Praise God. And so we can no longer do the things we used to do. There are things we just can't be caught doing. Praise God. There are things we just cannot be caught doing. So, one day, I had this friend who we were very, very close. So she said to me once, she said, I was trying to talk her into, she's a very nice girl, but she smokes. That was in school. She smokes a lot, a whole lot, like a chimney, you know. And I tried talking her out of it. She would say, bros, leave that thing. I can't stop this thing. Bros, leave that thing. I can't stop this thing. So one day we were talking and talking. And I got angry and I said, wait in there inside this thing, safe. So she started saying that she used it to console herself. You know those things that people say, that she's using it. Are you seeing people who drink? They tell you that the drinking will make them forget their sorrows. Your sorrow, they do press up. It's just they pile up the weight. It not come out anything. So she said that she used the smoking to, to console herself, blah, blah, blah. She's in a very toxic relationship. She's with this guy. And the guy is just messing her up all the time. And then she'll use smoking and drinking to her. She's using it to... It's not doing anything. It's not doing anything. Amen. And I told her, I said, there's only one thing that can transform you. Only one thing that can stop this. Come test and see. And that's what we're talking about tonight. We have this treasure on our inside. And I discover she's somebody that is blessed with a whole lot of talents. Bundle of talents. She could do a whole lot of stuff. Then imagine how much the devil took pleasure in keeping her locked under and just was just fanning her with AC. That, yes, just dwell on drinking and smoking. It's like that even in church. We have people who, when it comes to the word, they shut down. They want to do every other thing except listening to the word. They shut down. They come to church quite all right, fine. But they shut down when it comes to God's word. And just like Toby said, it's only the word of God that transforms us. Amen. It's only the word of God. They are not just mere words. They are seeds that are sown in our spirit. And it goes deep down and causes there to be a transformation. And that's why, like I repeat again, Setma will always say, when they press you, what comes out is as a result of what you have loaded yourself with. Amen. Amen. Let's see 2 Corinthians. Our text is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. From verse 7, it says, I'm reading from the Amplified Classic. It says, however, we possess this precious treasure, the divine light of the gospel, in frail human vessels of earth, that the grandeur and exceeding greatness of the power may be shown to be from God and not from ourselves. Amen. And not from ourselves. Hallelujah. You know, there's something I always tell people. Let's see Hebrews. So before I say that, let me just take us to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. You just need to understand certain things. Hebrews 2. I saw this and it blessed me. How we sometimes we forget why he came. Hebrews 2, 16 to 18. He said, for as we all know, he, that's Christ, did not take hold of angels. He didn't come because of the angels. The fallen angels, to give them a helping and delivering hand. He didn't come because of them. He didn't come because of them. It's not his business. He said, but he did take hold of the fallen descendants of Abraham to reach out to them, a helping and delivering hand. He came because of us, the seeds of Abraham. Hallelujah. Remember, from the story of the first Adam, we lost our place. But what happened? God already had an arrangement, had a plan in place to restore us back to that place where we have to come to understanding that we are his treasures. We are his seeds. Amen. 17 says, so it is evident that it was essential that he be made like his brethren in every respect in order that he might become a merciful, sympathetic and faithful high priest in the things related to God to make atonement and propitiation for the people's sin. 18. For because he himself in his humanity has suffered in being tempted, he is able to run to the cry of those who are being tempted and tested and tried. That's us. Amen. And who therefore are being exposed to suffering. So sometimes when I see people who make statements like, I remember one of those days I came to church and I can't remember what happened. It's something, I had an excuse. Something happened. And then, pastor scolded me. I didn't need to bother to explain, because a lot of us do it. Pastor just scold you or correct you. You say, pastor, you want to know how far? If you know where I come from, or if you know the rain when it fall from my area. No, it's not done. Take it. Accept it. Because it's for your betterment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you have your father ever flogged or beaten you before when you were small? And you are, no, definitely, for your naughtiness, you will be angry. But as you grow up, you begin to realize that it's for your good, right? My dad had, that was my stepdad, had guests one day. I was in secondary school. I just started secondary school. So he had guests. So there were all sorts of drinks on the table. So as soon as he saw them off, the way they were drinking the thing, I was wondering. So as soon as he saw them off, before he came back, I had helped myself with a glass. And I just gulped it the way they were taking it. I remember the name, Napoleon or something. And I took it. And my father asked me to go. When he came in, he said, I should go and keep the bottles. There's a cupboard where he used to put it. And he, lo and behold, he called me and said, come back here. Do you know why? As he sent me, I was not walking straight. This is the straight line. I was say, come here. And he looked at me and said, you took this thing. I wanted to shake my hand. He said, you took this thing. Yeah, go and put it again. I couldn't walk straight. There and then, I knew that was not for me. The beating I received that day in my life, if I see that drink, I can never. I still remember very well. He gave me the beating of my life. Amen. And I've told so many friends growing up also, you spend money on this, you just useless yourself. So I was telling a guy, I said, just even that lady too, I told that my friend, it's part of what I told her. I said, you just imagine wrapping 1,000 naira notes. Fine, because when you buy the packets, you're not looking at, you buy your own money. Just imagine you putting match on your money and you just watch the money burn. I said, that's how it is. Smoking. I can't be caught dead doing that. He said, you will not understand. There's this thing he gives me. That's how it is. The devil will just be fanning your brain to find an excuse. That's how it is. Even the guy who carries a girl and want to do all manner of stuff, that's what's in their mind. Because in their mind, there's something. They do you giz-giz. They do you giz-giz. But when you come to the realization of the encounter we had with him, with God, you will put all of those things aside. You put all of them aside. I also had this friend who got, when I tell people that when you mess with sin, what happens is that you think you are flexing, you think you are enjoying, but in all honesty, you're messing yourself up. Proverbs said, for this reason, what was he talking about? Adultery, fornication. He said, a man, when said man explained that thing, scattered my head. He said, a man, full grown man, is reduced to what? A crumb of bread. How many of us know what crumb is? Crumb. Have you eaten bread before? Those splashes of tiny, tiny particles. Crumb. Man, full grown man, is reduced to a crumb of bread. Don't mess with those stuff. Don't mess with them. Because they will mess you up. Trust me. They will. I tried it once. So there's this girl. Yes, I promised the youth I was going to talk about. So there was this girl. She just came into town. And I was new in church. I didn't know that she was on suspension. So it's one of those gatherings where you have very strict rules and all that. If someone, not the one they are doing now, they do suspension with understanding. There, if they suspend you, you are on your, they just put you, the word they use is they hand you over to the devil. They just put you at the back of the church. When people give offering, you don't give your offering.
You come alone, you and devil, you come and give your offering. So they even say, they pronounce it. They call you a pronouncer. They are handing you over to the devil to torment. It means your flesh. It's in the Bible. Paul talked about it. But they deal with it with extremity. They deal with it with so much extreme rules. And then nobody was talking with her. I felt so pity for her. Do you know what was happening? I started talking to her and all that. And I just wanted to make her feel a little bit comfy. And like I said, when devil starts fanning your head, nothing will make sense to you. So I got there. I was talking with her. And one of the deacons said, you're talking with somebody that is on suspension. Are you too? You like to be there now. Let's just add you to the devil's family. And they gave me suspension also. But I took it with offense. I was very angry because one, in their own part, I didn't really get the explanation of what's happening. But I said, okay, let's just stay here and wallow in the devil's company. But guess what? If you fall into the river, and if you see someone who fall into the river and you're trying to save the person, you better be sure you can swim very, very well. Because as the person is drowning, if he grab you, you are both going down. Do you understand? That's what happened. Before I knew it, we were really deep in suspension. Yeah. Yeah. And in that, I was hurt as well. You don't mess with certain stuff. You don't want to go there. You sure don't want to go there. Because Jesus has already brought us out of filth, out of darkness. If you go there, you're taking a high risk. The Savior is here. He says, stay with me, stay with me. You say, no, let me try, let me try. And you want to go down that road. When the lion comes and wants to devour you, there's no one who's going to save you. Stay with the one who has saved you, who is ready to take you all the way, pay the price, and keep you on the path of righteousness. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Let's see Genesis chapter 39. I want to show us an example of something that happened. Genesis 39. Oh, so I may not be able to read the entire story, but it's about the story of Joseph. The Bible says that Joseph was a huge blessing, even though he was a slave, was a huge blessing to Potiphar's house. Potiphar at the time pronounced and said, I give you authority, I give you charge over everything in this house. Mind you, when I was reading the Bible, he didn't say, except my wife. He didn't say that. Praise God. I took time to read it very well. Potiphar didn't say, except my wife. He said, Lo, I give you charge over everything in this entire house. Except what he eats. Hallelujah. So Joseph was in charge of the entire house. But guess what? When the wife came toasting Joseph, you know, the woman came with all manner of enticement. Joseph, Bobo. Joseph, you look nice. See your fine haircut. The Bible describes Joseph. See, Joseph was not like those ugly guys that you tell no. He was like those Yahoo boys that come with enticing things. He was a very handsome guy. The Bible describes him. He was fair. When the Bible, you know, King James is limited. The way he would describe it, just say, when he says fair, you know what he's trying to say. The guy, sweet guy, fresh. So Joseph was that kind of guy. That you look and you want to look again. Say, see his leg, see the chain, see the bling bling. Even some say, tattoo. Devil don't fan the brain. So she liked Joseph. For a married woman to fall for Joseph, just imagine how handsome. Very handsome guy, honestly. But it was Joseph who said, my master has put me in charge of everything except you, his wife. It was Joseph who said that. And he said, I will not do this evil against the Lord. Because the Bible says that Joseph feared the Lord. Praise God. Even in the midst of those enticing things that happen around you, girls, guys, and everything, all the flexing, all the enjoyment, do you fear the Lord? Do you remember who you are? Treasures in earthen vessel. Do you remember? Joseph said, no, I will not do this. See, let me tell you the truth. I've seen a lot of guys who play ball. As in, who would fall for it? I say, come on, oh yeah, now, come on, baby, let's go. The woman is old enough to be their mother. They don't mind. We see a lot of them. Have you not seen them in Lagos? I've seen them. There are many, especially on the island. So these boys, they gym. They don't get work. All they do is gym just to gather muscle. They braid their hair. They put earring. They wear tattoo and all that. All they are looking for is people's wives. Tell them to marry. They can't even stay married for more than 6 months. But they are just like the tools of the devil, looking for marriages to destroy. We have them in girls too. It's not marriage they want. They just want people's husbands. We were somewhere one day around Maryland, and that was in 2008. And as we came out, there's this man, pastor, assistant pastor. So, one sister came and was just rubbing his stomach. Said, Pastor, this belly don. Was just rubbing Pastor's stomach. It was Pastor's wife that reported to senior pastor. Said, Sister, this is the rough place. He said, no, it's just my brother in the Lord. Keep that brother on one side. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let me tell you what happened. So, one day, senior pastor said, every man, hold your wife. Oh, yeah, hold your wife. Pastor was doing like this, or shy. Hold your wife now. Sister, rub your belly the other day. Hold your wife. Then said, so pastor said, oh yeah, kiss your wife. He said, Pastor, we are in church. He said, that's why I'm telling you to kiss her. He said, Pastor, Amen. We play with certain things that we shouldn't. When God comes into your life, what happens is that he gives you expression also. But when you express yourself, you'll be able to express yourself in the right path. Amen. Amen. Men should be proud to hold their wives and walk with their wives. Amen. Not in those days that you say, okay, woman, they walk out for front, the man, they walk out for back. What are you looking for behind? Walk together. Hold hands. These are things that strengthen relationship. A friend was wedding and we went for the wedding and we are that close to the point that I know there's this guy she dated before. The guy is married, but her boss. So she was having a wedding, and the man was invited. And the man was the chairman of the occasion. I went to her and I said, what is this man doing here? She said, I invited him. I said, you're playing with fire. And what did the Bible say? The Bible says, can a man put fire in his bosom and his cloth not be burnt? No way. That things you don't play with. Praise God. Praise God. Because when you do that carelessly, honestly, you are digging some pits for yourself. Don't come and be doing every pit from my enemy. It's no enemy's pit. You dug it. There's this prayer in the Bible that says, lead us not into temptation. Some things that you do, what you are saying by your action is, Lord, lead me into this temptation. And God will not lead you there. You are carnally leading yourself there by the things you do. May God help us in Jesus' name. I know these are things we don't like to hear, but it's just the truth and it has to be said. Hallelujah. Because we are in dangerous times. We are in times that a lot is happening. A lot is happening. A lot. Because I love dancing, there was a time I was living with my aunt and they just relocated from Kano. And then she made arrangement for a dance instructor who was to take me dance class. And she started teaching me dance class. For weeks, we were having dance class. Little did my aunt know that this lady was already stylishly teaching me something outside dance class. She was taking me dance classes, but sometimes she would ask me things like, "Have you been kissed before?" and stuff, all manner of stuff like that. Like I said, how many of us know agogo? Agogo, that thing you play. Kong, 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 kong. Devil is playing agogo for some people and they're just dancing. Kong, 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 they go, they go, they go. Before you know, it's taking you where you don't know. May God help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's see Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 2. It says, looking away all that we distract to Jesus. I think it's the Old King James. Let's have it in the Old King James. I like the way it puts it there. Please. Hebrews 12:2 in the Old King James. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. I'll read it in the TPT, and it says, we look away from the natural realm and we focus our attention on an expectation unto Jesus, who birthed faith within us. Who what? Birth faith within us. So it's already there. We need to just let it come out. We need to live it out. Hallelujah. Who birth faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. Hallelujah. From the beginning I said, we have these treasures in us. It's there. Inherent within us. If you don't let it out, you die there. You cheat yourself if you don't let it out. So you become like, I was describing on Sunday, Upper Sunday, to the people at Okwagbon Fellowship, at Agbori Fellowship, how a woman, this old woman lived abroad and she had no child. You know the way they live. And then so she willed everything she had to her housemaid. So the housemaid, upon being given the, what's it called, like a certificate or so of everything, the woman's estate and everything given to her, guess what she did? She framed it. You know frame? Enlargement. She framed it and just hung it on the wall and it's there. So every time she's happy, hey, what, my madam gave me this, my madam gave me this. She was hungry. She was sick. She couldn't pay hospital bills. She couldn't feed. She was hungry, but she would always rejoice when she see that thing. See what my madam gave me. See what my madam gave. Because people, the lawyer was telling her that this is a huge treasure that your madam gave to you. This thing she gave to you is what people give to their children, to their generation. But she's giving it to you. So she's happy. But she doesn't know what it is, what value it is. Hallelujah. So let's put a figure to it. So let's assume that what the woman gave this maid is worth $1 billion. So it's that huge because she had an estate and all that and all that. You are hungry. You are dying. You have these treasures on the inside that Jesus has given you, but you are dying. You're going through storms. Challenges are here and there giving you ghost baths, but you are just wailing and crying. Every day you call pastor. Every day you call people. Every day you are lamenting, but you have this thing on your inside. So you can imagine the anger, the way Jesus told Mary and Martha. I said, didn't I tell you? Have I not told you? All you need to do is just give the command and this guy will come back alive. Why wait for me? You don't need to wait for me. Praise God. That's how people wait all the time. Certain situations in your life, you just let it swallow you up because you feel, pastor is not passing through my area. Pastor is not coming. I can't reach pastor. No, you don't need to reach pastor. You need to reach God. Praise God. You need God, not pastor. Because pastor has his own cares. He has his own things to take care of. Praise God. God is ever present and willing to, he's stretching out his arms to you and say, call on me, I'll help you, call on me, I'll help you, I'm here to help you. And you say, no, let me reach out to pastor, or let me reach out to sister this and brother this. But you have that thing in you. If you don't use what you have, you cheat yourself. You cheat yourself out because you have been blessed with all blessings. He has given us this thing. So we have these treasures on our inside. We need to let it burst out and use it. Let me tell you what happened yesterday. My mom called me. My mom called me yesterday. My wife was sitting there beside me. My mom said, somebody just walked up to her in a compound in Ghana and said, tomorrow is 14th September. Today's 14th September, right? So yesterday the person walked up to her and said, tomorrow is 14th September. And you die tomorrow. Walked up to my mother. Said, you die tomorrow. Say he had a revelation. As soon as that one left, another one come and gave her the same message. Say, tomorrow, 14th September. Blah, 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 blah. Say, eh. So she called me. As soon as she called me, she said, see what happened, see what happened, see what they told her. And I laughed and laughed, and she said, she's saying something serious. And I said, how serious are you? I said, I'm not saying whether you are serious about what they said, but how did you take what they said to you? So I told her, I said, you know you've been blessed with long life, right? She said, yes. I said, so what did you tell them? She said, one of them said, so she asked one of them, so what should we do? That one said, good. And was them, she said, hey, wait. He told the one, he said, come aside. He said, look. Now this era, I won't buy goods for you. I told her, I said, you will go far. Just tell them God's word. That's what you need. God's word. I started telling her what God's word says. No, yap them. Hungry fellows. No, leave them. Tell them God's word. I said, what did the word of God say? I started reminding her. He said, with long life, I will satisfy you. So he has given you, not that he wants to, he has given you. You have long life. You will live longer than themselves. And I started dishing out scriptures for her. In fact, she was rejoicing. You know what she did next? The next time she called me, she asked me for one music. So she put on music and she was dancing. And then she danced all through till she slept. This morning, I called her at about 8 or thereabout when the kids had gone to school. And I called her and said, how are you? I said, fine. How are you? I said, fine. And she started giving me testimonies. I said, yeah, this is it. I said, I'll talk to you again in the evening when I'm back from church. I say, I'll remind you years to come that with long life, God has satisfied you. But there's one thing she said that I love. She said, she told them, I'm not going back there anymore. Praise God. Yeah, because she's been there and done that. She's been there. She's done that. She said, I'm not going back there anymore. I'll never go back to the world anymore. And what were they trying to do? Put fear in her. They've done all that. They've done that to so many people. Put fear in them. I've just seen people who come to people who just receive Christ and tell them that, you're just wasting your time following God. These church people, don't let them deceive you. Your original root is from water. You are from water. Just go and be serving you, your water, this thing. And they really mumu, they'll just follow. Amen. He said, we have been made new. We are not going back to those dirt anymore. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Lastly, let's see 2 Corinthians, we have read. Second Corinthians 4. We read verse 7 before, so let me see verse 8. It says, though we experience every kind of pressure, we are not crushed. At times, we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. See, even the Bible recognizes the fact that sometimes you go through storms. Amen. Amen. Even the Bible recognizes that we go through storms sometimes. We are pressed on every side. But we don't give up. You say, giving up is not an option. Hallelujah. I've seen situations where sometimes there's no food in the house. I've seen situations where things are so tough. incredibly tough. But you know what? God is on the throne and he gives us strength to triumph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's not the time to give up. There's no quitting. There's no giving up is not an option. You know, when you are writing an exam, objective. When you write an exam, they tell you that Surpassing Grace Hall is painted what? They now put option, right? Option A, they say green. Option B, blue. Option C, they now put another color. If this color not there, will you pick green? Eh? So, quitting, when he says quitting is not an option, the option of quitting has been removed from the whole of the scale. We are not going back. We die here. We follow. We know there's no going back. Those men who went to war, they say, if we die, we die. We know there's no going back. We are taking this territory. Praise the Lord. That's what he has called us to. That's the life he has called us to. There's no quitting. There's no quitting. Amen. He said, we are persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We may be knocked down, but not out. I've seen battles where it seemed like I've been knocked down. But I don't give up. I get up, clean myself up, and I keep pressing. Amen. This battle is not going to end until we win. Hallelujah. So when we have that mentality, we just keep on. We keep pressing on. Hallelujah. We continually share in the death of Jesus in our own bodies so that the resurrection life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. He wants to reflect himself through us to the world. He will shine through us so that the world will see that God lives, God exists, and God is able to do exceedingly above all we could ever imagine or think. Praise God. Amen. Yes, in verse 13, he said, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scripture when he says, first, I believe, then I spoke in faith. Remember, it was said in Isaiah. And then, so we also first believe and then speak in faith. Amen. If you believe, you will speak it. They say, the world will say seeing is believing. No, for us. For us, it's not seeing, it's believing. We believe and then we see it. Because the supernatural controls the natural. The spiritual controls the physical. So in our heart, we must make up our mind that we see with the eyes of God. Because like Pastor Ewa said, his spirit dwells in us. And so we are controlled by the spirit. It's not the flesh that is at work here. It's the spirit that is at play. Amen. As we get ready to close, he said, 16, so no wonder we don't give up. For even though our outer person gradually wears out, our inner being is renewed every single day. Pastor Emma will say, these are small potatoes. We are not giving up. Our inner being is renewed every day, every single day. Renewed. You know what it means? Every day, he gives us new strength. Every day, there's new strength. Every day, there's new strength. Amen. We view our slight, short-lived troubles in the light of eternity. We see our difficulties as the substance that produces for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, because we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporal. But the unseen realm is eternal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us rise up on our feet. The things that we see, they are temporal. What are the things you're seeing? All these challenges, they are small potatoes. The things that are not seen, they are mighty, they are eternal. Hallelujah. Great treasures have been kept for us. Great treasures loaded for us. If only we can see with the eyes of the Spirit on our inside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's begin to talk to Him. Father, thank you for provisions that are made for me. Thank you for treasures that are stored up for me. Oh, thank you, Father. Le fana manda badadesha. Ele bregedo sotalamande vededo sharada. I receive strength to overcome every challenge, every obstacles. Ele mande vikabarado sherevene montarabosha. Every mountain that brought low, elevate parado soleya. In Mark 11, verse 22, 23, he said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, you will have what to say. Oh, thank you, Father, because I have what I say. I have what I say. I have what I say. I believe and I speak. I have what I say. I have what I say. I have what I say. Ele pala bana mane kerebo shararia ele breno sotara mane vreke bedegoro shararia ele bagana do sonta brana mane vrene no sharaya. I'm coming out victoriously. I'm coming out victoriously. I triumph on every side. I overcome every challenge. Le fana mane vededosh ele brana mane vreka barado sote brene mo shararia. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what my song will be. That's what my song will be. I'm coming out victorious. That's what my song will be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what my song will be. I'm coming off victorious. That's what my song will be. Yeah, that's what my song. Sing hallelujah.